Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Very cautious New Year's greeting as we enter 2023, as I said many times and repeat again. Let us hope that 2023 is a better year than 2022. Meanwhile, Joseph Mercola has been massively censored. Can only put up his stories for hours and then has to take him down, is reporting on the Twitter files and how the FBI weaponizes social media. Here's, of course, the latest statement from the FBI. It is unfortunate that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose of attempting to discredit the agency. Now, you might ask why, right off the bat, why would anyone want to discredit the FBI? It's supposed to be the greatest law enforcement agency in the world. Except, of course, it's not. Of course, it's been weaponized. Of course, it's a law enforcement arm, the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party today, as the DOJ has been weaponized the FBI grotesque. So here's Mercola. Very smart guy. Story at a glance. Twitter documents released by Elon Musk reveal the lawlessness of our intelligence agencies and the psychological warfare against the American public is far worse than expected. Between October 2019 and February 2021 alone, FBI paid Twitter $3.4 million to censor certain views and stories on its behalf, including the damning Hunter Biden laptop story, which likely would have sunk Joe Biden's bid for the presidency had it received the attention it deserves. I hate to disagree with Dr. Mercola, but no, they had the whole thing rigged in such a way he could have shot Donald Trump in the same, in public in D.C., and he would have still been elected. It's just absurd what happened here. The FBI, Facebook, and Twitter even ran a tabletop exercise about hacked information relating to Hunter Biden 1 month before the real story broke. During that exercise, they practiced a narrative that weeks later became official truth. A large number of current and or former FBI agents work at and with Twitter. There are also a lot of former CIA there, by the way, to keep the online narrative in check. More than 100 supposedly former intelligence agency also work in Facebook's content moderation department. While hunting down and banning covert propaganda accounts tied to foreign governments, Twitter worked with the U.S. Department of Defense to promote and protect American propaganda accounts and aided U.S. intelligence agencies in their efforts to influence foreign governments using fake news, computerized deepfake videos, and bots. If you're still under the naively mistaken belief that there's no deep state, the Twitter file dumps from Elon Musk detailing how Twitter, before his acquisition of the company, was coerced into doing the FBI's bidding, with actual FBI agents on his staff to control the online narrative, ought to set the record straight. In fact, the lawlessness of our intelligence agencies and the psychological warfare against the American public is far worse than most people ever suspected. FBI paid Twitter huge sums of money, your tax dollars, might I add, to censor certain views and stories, such as the damning Hunter laptop story, which, he repeats, likely would have sunk Joe Biden's bid for the presidency had it received the attention it legitimately deserved. We actually know better because the way the elections are rigged in the United States today. The FBI even ran a tabletop exercise about hacked information relating to Hunter Biden 1 month before the real story. Get this, 1 month before the real story broke. During that exercise, they practiced the narrative, that is, the lies that weeks later became official truth. There is a deep state running the show, and they are doing whatever they damn well please without regard for the law or the U.S. Constitution. I guarantee you he's got it exactly right. They're acting completely outside the rules of our constitutional republic and the laws of the land, and they've weaponized the very agencies that are supposed to protect us and act in the public's best interest and turn them against us. The Twitter file saga is expanding by the day, so I won't be able to cover every detail here. Books will be needed to cover the scandal in depth. In the meantime, I suggest you review the references cited and keep your eyes peeled for later updates. FBI used Twitter to track and spy on Americans. In the video above, investigative journalist Glenn Greenwald reviews how Washington has expanded the war state and the Democrat censorship regime. About 39 minutes in, he begins reviewing evidence showing the FBI was not only censoring social media content, but the agency was also on a regular basis asking Twitter to reveal the location of specific Twitter users. For what purpose, no one knows. As noted by independent journalist Matt Taibbi in a December 17, 2022 Twitter post, what law enforcement objective is served by asking for Billy Baldwin's location information? Why is the FBI DHS in the business of analyzing and flagging social media content at all? When were these programs created and who approved them? These are all good questions. Historically, the FBI's job has been to monitor and address criminal activity, not misinformation. Somewhere along the way, and it's unclear exactly when the mandate changed and by whom, the DHS FBI, where the FBI supports the DHS by investigating threats, and other agencies tasked themselves with illegally suppressing free speech and shaping public narratives through public partner and private partnerships with big tech. The Biden admin's Orwellian Ministry of Truth, revealed in the summer of 2022, was one of the first indicators we had that something was horribly amiss. Even though that agency was quickly disbanded after public outcry and no small amount of mockery, the policing of mis and disinformation was simply shifted elsewhere with the federal government, within the federal government. Moreover, as reviewed by Greenwald, internal DHS memos, emails, and documents show that DHS has worked on expanding its influence over tech programs for years. So government censorship is not something that just happened in response to the COVID crisis. Nor is the censorship limited to COVID or public health information in general. We now have evidence showing the FBI has actively interfered in multiple elections, for example, activity that Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri accurately warns is the biggest threat to our constitutional democracy today. Well, there's certainly more than one. Meanwhile, FBI invented foreign interference narrative. Not surprisingly, the FBI invented the narrative that foreign nations were interfering in U.S. elections, which is precisely what they, the FBI, were doing. As reported by Tiabian attorney Jeff Childers, the FBI asked Twitter to investigate malicious actors spreading election disinformation on Twitter. Twitter looked into the matter and reported there was no evidence of foreign interference. The FBI was none too pleased with that answer and made it clear that Twitter better find some. As evidence that Twitter's investigation was flawed, the FBI cited mainstream media articles and think tank reports that claim foreign interference was indeed taking place. This is just a common intel practice. You plant a fake story and then you have someone else cite it as though it were legit. In response, Twitter's former censorship head, Joel Roth, did an about-face and informed the team that official state propaganda is definitely a thing on Twitter. Privileged and confidential, he wrote. One other follow-up in rereading the doc, the entire premise seems flawed. In our June 2020 briefing, we did not indicate that we, quote, had not observed much recent activity from official propaganda actors on your platform. I reviewed my notes from that briefing. And there's a specific item calling out official propaganda outlets as a major factor. And in multiple follow-ups with Elvis and others, we've been clear that official state propaganda is definitely a thing on Twitter, but that it's different in terms of how we handle it than clandestine fake accounts. My recommendation is to get on the phone with Elvis ASAP and try to straighten this out. I'm concerned that there's swirl somewhere in IC, the intelligence community, about a statement that may have been fundamentally misunderstood. Would you be okay with me reaching out to Elvis today to try to do that in advance of more formally engaging with the doc they sent? Signed, Joel. How media have been weaponized to provide false evidence. The FBI's tactic appears to be a variation of what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calls the wrap-up smear, where they leak a lie to the media, then they use that media report as evidence that the lie is true, and it just goes in circles from there. Another form of what we call begging the question, taking for granted a conclusion that requires independent substantiation. But, of course, that's a typical technique of propaganda. Here, the FBI used reports, which were based on leaked information from anonymous intelligence agents, to pressure Twitter into making something up to further support the fiction the FBI itself invented and leaked to the sources they cited. As noted by Childers, this variant on the political wrap-up smear is also being used by U.S. health agency. Quote, it's a nifty trick. The DIH or CDC needs evidence to support some guidance they want to issue, like masking. So they fund some studies intended to show masks work. They pay for play. The pay-for-play sign has published cartoonish anti-scientific clown studies proving cotton masks can somehow magically filter nanoscale virus particles. Then the NIH and CDC cite those same studies, the same ones they procured, to recommend unconstitutional mask mandates or even outright order mandates like for air travel and on cruise ships. Ditto vaccines. It's a closed loop. Twitter, FBI exercise managing the Hunter Biden laptop story. We now also have evidence showing it was the FBI that quenched the Hunter Biden laptop story. They, in collaboration with Twitter, Facebook, and Aspen Institute, even held a tabletop exercise on October of 2020 to practice the shaping of the media's coverage of the a potential hack and dump operation involving Hunter Biden material. National security reporters from the New York Times and the Washington Post, of course, were also in attendance, as reported by the New York Post. Quote, the exercise by the Aspen Digital Hack and Dump Working Group involved an 11-day scenario in October 2020 that began with the imaginary release of falsified records related to Hunter Biden's controversial employment by the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, which paid him as much as $1 million a year to serve on his board when his father was vice president. The goal was to shape how the media covered it and how social media carried it, Schellenberger wrote. But the drill was put into practical use weeks later when the Post broke the story about Hunter Biden's infamous laptop, which was either ignored or downplayed by most mainstream news outlets and suppressed by both Twitter and Facebook. In a video below, independent journalist Matt Piabi speaks with Russell Brand about the Twitter files and the kinds of censorship tactics Twitter was secretly engaging in on the government's behalf. However, it turns out the FBI didn't just attempt to sideline the Hunter Biden story a month in advance. No, they've been shielding it and working with social media to shield it for them since 2018. As reported by Childers, quote, in December 2020, Twitter's former censorship head, Yoel Roth, explained in a sworn statement that for almost 2 years leading up to the leak, the FBI told him over and over to expect a Russian leak about Hunter Biden in October 2020. During these weekly meetings since 2018, the federal law enforcement agencies communicated that expected hack and leak operations by state actors might occur in the period before the 2020 presidential election, likely in October. I was told in these meetings that those hacking attacks would likely be disseminated over social media platforms, including Twitter, and that there were rumors that a hack and leak operation would involve Hunter Biden's Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, making comments on a podcast suggesting he'd had similar conversation with the FBI. FBI agents assigned to Twitter censorship duty. As reported by attorney Jeff Childers, FBI field agent Elvis Chan, and this is the Elvis of previous mentions, was one of the agents assigned to work with Twitter. He was recently deposed in the Missouri versus Biden case about his role in Twitter's censoring of Americans. Below is just one of Chan's emails to Twitter, in which he directs them to ban specific accounts for imagined crimes. Sunday, November 6, 2022, from Elvis Chan. Twitter folks, please see below list of Twitter accounts which we believe are violating your rules of your terms of service by disseminating false information about time, place, and manner of the upcoming elections. Let us know if you decide to take any actions against these accounts based on our tipper to you, and let us know if we need to issue a preservation letter, as we intend to serve legal process on these accounts. Thanks for your consideration. Regards, Elva, special agent in charge. As noted by Childers, note that Chan only provided a list of accounts. He didn't bother to say which terms of service were violated. He didn't say anybody broke the law. He didn't even say which tweets were problematic. As an aside, I've had that experience again and again. I'm denied for violating terms of service, but they never specify what terms of service. Amazon did this too. Still, within 48 hours, Twitter had obliged, and the accounts listed by Chan had either been suspended or banned. Below is Twitter censorship employee Patrick Conlon's reply to Chan. As you can see, a long list of other FBI employees were also copied. I spare. Another FBI plant is Jim Baker. Before coming, Twitter said lawyers, he spent 3 decades with the FBI, most recently as its deputy general counsel. He, too, used his authority at Twitter to censor the Hunter Biden story. While his comments, email, and below may seem innocuous enough, just a polite suggestion, it's clear with facts in hand that Baker was trying to influence the situation. From Jim Baker, subject, new New York Post article. Folks, I'm guessing we're going to restrict access to this article as a violation of our hack material policy, but after yesterday, I don't want to assume anything. Meanwhile, intelligence agencies have weaponized social media. For the record, Facebook also employs no less than 115 former employees of the FBI, CIA, NSA, and other intelligence agencies. Most of them work in Facebook's content moderation department, which seems like a massive career slide if you ask me, but what do I know? As noted by Childers, quote, the inescapable conclusion of what we're seeing from the Twitter files is that our country's intelligence agencies, by and through the FBI, now control all the large social media outlets and are using them to manipulate American public opinion and change the outcome of domestic elections. But for who? My answer would be they're doing it on behalf of the deep state, the same unelected globalists who so doggedly push for a great reset and fourth industrial revolution, that is, eugenics rebranded as transhumanism. Childers continued, quote, if Elon Musk hadn't spent $44 billion to buy Twitter, nobody would have ever believed the extent to which the intelligence community has absorbed private social media platforms in this country and turned them against the people. It's literally unbelievable. Exposure will probably be fatal. The Constitution does not provide for any internal security service in the United States. The agencies are way off the reservation, well into criminal territory, no matter how clever their lawyers are. Of course, we still have the teensy-weensy little problem of who will charge and arrest these people, since they're in control of the entire federal law enforcement apparatus. Don't worry, there are answers. But let's wait a little bit to see how things play out. FBI paid Twitter millions. As mentioned, the FBI was also using taxpayer dollars to pay Twitter for their censorship services. $3,415,323, to be exact, between October 2019 and February 2021 alone. Jim, for your information, in 2019, SCALE, S-C-A-L-E, instituted a reimbursement program for our legal process response from the FBI. Prior to the start of the program, Twitter chose not to collect under the statutory right of reimbursement for the time spent processing requests from the FBI. I'm happy to report we have collected $3,415,323 since October 2019. This money is used by LP for things like the TTR and other LE-related project, LE training, tooling, etc. FBI and other intelligence agencies were also trying to gain even greater and more direct influence over Twitter. In a January 2020 email, Carlos Moage wrote to Roth, warning that a sustained effort by the IC, that's, of course, the intelligence community, to push us to share more information and change our API policies. Apparently, the FBI wanted direct access to Twitter's database. Investigative journalist Li Fang with The Intercept has also provided some real bombshells. While Twitter has insisted it was cracking down on all covert government propaganda accounts, that was only partially true. Twitter worked with the U.S. Department of Defense to promote and protect American propaganda accounts, and as U.S. intelligence agencies in their efforts to influence foreign governments using fake news, computerized deepfake videos and bots. In reality, Twitter worked with the U.S. Department of Defense to promote and protect American propaganda accounts and aided U.S. intelligence agencies in their efforts to influence foreign governments using fake news, computerized deepfake videos, and bots. They only hunted down the foreign government-affiliated propaganda accounts, as reported by Fang. Behind the scene, Twitter gave approval and special protection to the U.S. military's online psychological ops. Despite knowledge that Pentagon propaganda attack used over identities, Twitter did not suspend many for around 2 years or more. Some remain active. In 2017, a U.S. Central Command official sent Twitter a list of 52 Arab language accounts we use to amplify certain messages. The official asked for priority service for 6 accounts, verification for 1, and whitelist abilities for the other. Let me just add, you can find the whole article and thereby watch the videos on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. I've also linked it on my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer. This is huge, something you do not want to miss.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. first insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Jim's on that extra long break again. I think his wife says something to him. He got to take care of her. Anyway, good morning. Welcome back, wherever you are. This is the Raw Deal on Studio B, Revolution Radio. Call in and listen to the show, 518-906-1859. To call and listen to Studio B. Remember, the Raw Deal, here 3 days a week. So, is Jim back yet? I don't see him. I don't hear him. Hopefully, he will make it back.
Hopefully, he'll make there it
he
back.
Is.
You got it right. Yeah. I know, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Hey, so much is going on.
Listen, happy wife, happy life.
Well, I've heard that story. I've heard that story before, my friend. Let me see what I can do. I got my screen covered. I want everyone to know, though, they can find all that on the my Twitter and on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. And there's much more going on here, too. Let me see. I've got a challenge here with my screen. I don't know what happened. Here we go. Well, that Mercola story seemed to me to be huge, but get this. Elon Musk has also exposed Anthony Fauci's cozy working relationship with his wife at the NIH. I mean, this is fairly stunning stuff, but it's all true and wouldn't be coming out if it weren't for Musk. So I'm a huge fan of what Elon Musk is doing here. Twitter CEO Elon Musk has responded to a post on the platform that appeared to push back on claims that outgoing White House chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, in his post as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has never been untruthful or dishonest. Who would believe that? Entrepreneur and moderate Republican backer Mark Anderson posted a tweet that contained a screen grab supported of Fauci, where he said it was neither accurate nor fair to claim Fauci has ever lied, to which Musk posted a link to a congressional PDF file of a Newsweek story headline, Fauci was untruthful to Congress about Wuhan lab research, new documents appear to show. The November 2021 report noted, the National Institute of Health, NIH, has denied funding studies that would make a coronavirus more dangerous to humans after it was accused of doing so following the release of research proposals. The documents were obtained and released by The Intercept on Tuesday after it launched a FOIA lawsuit. Richard Ebright, Board of Governors, Professor of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Rutgers and Laboratory Director of the Waksman Institute of Microbiology, told Newsweek, these documents show unequivocally that NIH grants were used to fund controversial gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, something U.S. infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci has denied. The documents make it clear that assertions by the NIH director, Francis Collins, and the NIAID director, Anthony Fauci, at the NIH did not support gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enforcement at Wuhan are untruthful, Ebright reported. Following his response, with a PDF file, Musk wrote, almost no one seems to realize that the head of bioethics at NIH, the person who is supposed to make sure that Fauci behaves ethically, is his wife. His second tweet also contained a link to a Wikipedia page describing the life and career of Christine Grady, who is married to Fauci. The page states that Grady is an American nurse and bioethicist who serves as the head of the Department of Bioethics at the National Institutes of Health Clinical Center. Elon Musk tweeting with a photograph. Multiple sections of the grant proposals and grant progress reports make it clear that the grants funded gain-of-function research of concern in Wuhan. Ebright told Newsweek last year, citing the documents obtained by The Intercept. Meanwhile, Musk said this week that former Twitter employees had managed a channel in Slack called Fauci Fan Club, in which they fawned over the outgoing NIAID director during the recent COVID pandemic. The New York Post reported, Musk tweeted the claim that a thread that was highly critical of Fauci, who was accused by the mogul of lying about so-called gain-of-function research, that some suggest may have played a role in the spread of the coronavirus. Despite these glaring issues, Twitter nonetheless had an internal Slack channel unironically called Fauci Fan Club. Musk tweeted late Tuesday. He did not elaborate as to how many employees participated in the Slack channel. Here we have a nice photo of Fauci. During the pandemic, Twitter, under the old management team, regularly censored coronavirus-related content that ran afoul of information being put out by Fauci and federal health agencies. Some users who routinely posted counter-research and information, like Alex Berenson, were eventually booted off the platform, although he has since been reinstated after he filed a lawsuit against it. Perhaps with an eye toward these incidents. Musk sparked a strong reaction this week when he announced a social media platform would promote reasoned skepticism of scientific data. New Twitter policy is to follow the science, which necessarily includes reasoned questioning of the science. Indeed, that's absolutely right. Science is a method of successive approximation. You have a theory about it, then you test the theory. Then, based on new data, you revise the theory and you make another assertion. You have to be able to critique scientific theories in order for science to progress. It's inherent in the nature of rationality and of scientific reasoning that when you're confronted with alternative hypotheses or newly available data, you make appropriate adjustments, which may require rejecting hypotheses you previously accepted, accepting hypotheses you previously rejected, and leaving others in suspense. That's the nature of science and of rationality. Writer Catherine Butsky tweeted a response, also known as, also known as a scientific method, to which Musk responded with a bullseye emoji, suggesting he agreed with her response and thought it was accurate. And I, as a philosopher of science, guarantee 100%. That's exactly right. Meanwhile, and this is a bit of a monster, today the threat of nuclear war is real. America's 1945 plan wiped the Soviet Union off the map. 204 atomic bombs against 66 major cities, U.S. nuclear attack against USSR planned during World War II. This is by Mikhail Shostakovsky of Global Research. This guy is fabulous. Author's note, the world is at a dangerous crossroads. Nuclear war threatens the future of humanity. We are no longer dealing with a hypothetical scenario. The threat of World War III is real. And here he has a book about it. Toward a World War III scenario, the dangers of nuclear war, where you can order it. Go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org. While one can conceptualize the loss of life and destruction resulting from present-day wars, including Ukraine, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, it is impossible to fully comprehend the devastation which might result from a third world war using new technologies and advanced weapons until it occurs and becomes a reality. The U.S. administration has endorsed preemptive nuclear war in the name of world peace. Making the world safer is the justification for launching a military operation which could potentially result in a nuclear holocaust. Mini nukes are said to be harmless to surrounding civilian population, but that's simply completely absurd. Just absurd. I continue. Since the George W. Bush administration, W, not J.H.W., George W. administration, preemptive nuclear war has been portrayed as an humanitarian undertaking. How ludicrous is that? The following article, first published in 2017, questions the history of the Cold War. It has a bearing on recent developments. U.S. nuclear threats directed against Russia predate the Cold War. They were first formulated at the height of World War II under the Manhattan Project when the U.S. and the Soviet Union were allies. The secret plan to bomb 66 Soviet cities was released in mid-September 1945, 2 weeks after the formal surrender of Japan. Had the U.S. decided not to develop nuclear weapons for use against the Soviet Union, the nuclear arms race would not have taken place. Neither the Soviet Union nor the People's Republic of China would have developed nuclear capabilities as a means of deterrence against the United States. Had it not been for the Manhattan Project, which was intended to implement a nuclear war against the Soviet Union. Flash forward to 2022. President Joe Biden does not have the foggiest idea as to the consequences of nuclear war. Biden's announcement that the U.S. will use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear threats and the knowledge that U.S. nuclear weapons are deployed close to Russia are forcing Putin to abandon his no first use of nuclear weapons pledge. In other words, unlike the 20th century Cold War, today there is a hair trigger on nuclear war. Now, Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO Secretary General, says, I fear that the war in Ukraine will spiral out of control and become a major war between NATO and Russia. If things go wrong, they can go horribly wrong. Paul Craig Roberts, just a couple weeks ago, December 11th, massive amounts of money have been allocated by the Biden administration to feed the weapons industry, including the Pentagon's $1.3 trillion nuclear weapons program. First launched under Obama. Humanity is at a dangerous crossroads. Nuclear war has become a multi-billion dollar undertaking, which fills the pockets of U.S. defense contractors. What is at stake is the outright privatization of nuclear war. The use of nuclear weapons against Russia is currently on the drawing board of the Pentagon. The U.S.-NATO war games are being carried out on Russia's doorstep. A first strike, preemptive nuclear attack on Russia is not excluded. Go back to the words of Fidel Castro on October 15th of 2010. In a nuclear war, the collateral damage would be the life of all humanity. Let us have the courage to proclaim that all nuclear or conventional weapons, everything that is used to make war, must disappear. Fidel Castro, Ruz, conversation with the author, October 2010. The use of nuclear war against Russia and the Soviet Union has been on the drawing board of the Pentagon since September 15, 1945. See article below. The intent of the Manhattan Project was to wage nuclear war against the Soviet Union. What is now happening in Ukraine has serious geopolitical implications. It could lead us into a World War III scenario. It is important that a peace process be initiated with a view to preventing escalation. That's from Michael Chesedovsky, Global Research, Hiroshima Day, August 6, 2022, updated December 11, 2022. Here's the article he originally published back in 2017, 4 November 2017. Get this. I mean, think about what we're reading here from the Soviet or from the Russian point of view. Wipe the Soviet Union off the map. 204 atomic bombs against 66 major cities. U.S. nuclear attack against USSR planned during World War II when America and the Soviet Union were allies. By Michael Chesedovsky. According to a secret declassified document dated September 15, 1945, the Pentagon had envisioned blowing up the Soviet Union with a coordinated nuclear attack directly against major urban areas. All major cities of the Soviet Union were included in the list of 66 strategic targets. The tables below categorize each city in terms of area in square miles and the corresponding number of atomic bombs required to annihilate and kill the inhabitants of selected urban areas. Six atomic bombs were to be used to destroy each of the larger cities, including Moscow, Leningrad, Tashkent, Kiev, Kharkov, Odessa. Because remember, then Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union. The Pentagon estimated that a total of 204 atomic bombs would be required to wipe the Soviet Union off the map. The targets for a nuclear attack consisted of 66 major cities. In order to undertake this operation, the optimum number of bombs required was of the order of 466. One single atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima resulted in the immediate death of 100,000 people in the first 7 seconds. Imagine what would have happened if 204 atomic bombs had been dropped on major cities of the Soviet Union as outlined in a secret U.S. plan formulated during the Second World War. Horrific. The document outlining this diabolical military agenda had been released in September of 1945, barely 1 month after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on the 6th and the 9th of August, 1945, and 2 years before the onset of the Cold War, which officially began in 1947. The secret plan, dated September 15, 1945, 2 weeks after the surrender of Japan on September 2, 1945, aboard the USS Missouri, however, had been formulated at an earlier period, namely at the height of World War II, at a time when America and the Soviet Union were close allies. It is worth noting that Stalin was first informed through official channels by Harry Truman of the infamous Manhattan Project at the Potsdam Conference on July 24, 1945, barely 2 weeks before the attack on Hiroshima. The Manhattan Project was launched in 1939, 2 years prior to America's entry into World War II, on December 1941. The Kremlin was fully aware of the secret Manhattan Project as early as 1942. Were the August 1945 Hiroshima and Nagasaki attacks used by the Pentagon to evaluate the viability of a much larger attack on the Soviet Union, consisting of more than 204 atomic bombs? The key documents to bomb 66 cities of the Soviet Union, 15 September 1945, were finalized 5 to 6 weeks after the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings on the 6th and 9th of August, 1945. On September 15, 1945, just under 2 weeks after the formal surrender of Japan and the end of World War II, Norstad sent a copy of the estimate to General Leslie Groves, still the head of the Manhattan Project and the guy who for the short term anyway would be in charge of producing whatever bombs the U.S. Air Force might want. At that time, U.S. Army Air Force. As you might get, the classification on this document was high, top secret limited, which is about as high as it went during World War II. Compliments of Alex Wellerstein, the first atomic stockpile requirements published in September 1945. Today they have higher classifications. The Kremlin was aware of the 1945 plan to bomb 66 Soviet cities. Imagine. The Kremlin was aware, and you can be absolutely certain Putin is aware of the U.S. plans, and the Soviets were aware of this. I mean, talk about being justified in distrusting the West, being warranted in not believing a single damn word coming from NATO or the United States. I mean, how could you have your confidence shaken more severely than by a plan to destroy 66 cities in the Soviet Union using 204 atomic bombs? The documents confirmed that the United States was involved in the planning of genocide against the United States. Let's cut to the chase. How many bombs did the U.S. Army Air Force request for the atomic general when there were maybe two bombs worth of fissile material on hand? At a minimum, they wanted 123. Ideally, they'd like 466. This is just a little over a month after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Of course, in true bureaucratic fashion, they provided a handy-dandy chart, Alex Wellerstein op-ed. And here's a list of all the bombs they'd like to have. Stunning stuff. And a further layout. There's even a PDF here about everything they wanted. And here's a map of the Soviet Union identifying the major cities they wanted to attack and annihilate with nuclear weapons. I mean, this is grotesque. It was when the Joint Chiefs outlined to JFK the plan for Operation Northwoods, where they were going to load a plane with college students, fly it over Cuba, and shoot it down, blaming it on Castro to justify an invasion of Cuba. Claiming in the small print, of course, they'd offload the plane and get the kids off and put dummies in, but can you imagine one of these mannequins coming down in Cuba? Or one of these kids turning up alive in the United States? No. That was going to be more collateral damage. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Raw Deal with Dr. James Fetzer. And Jim is getting slow, isn't he? God bless him, man. I'm telling you. But remember, you can always catch his archives on Revolution Radio and the Revolution Radio archives. And don't forget, jamesfetzer.com, I believe, is his new website. Don't forget, go over there and catch all his shows. Because the raw deal, we're getting handed the shit end of the stick. And, well, I don't think people are going to take it much longer. That's one thing I believe that I see coming, is that people will not acquiesce to the political idiocracy that we see happening today. So
excellent comments, Mitchell.
God bless you.
I do so appreciate. Yeah, today's kind of crazy. A lot of balls in the air. Let me just say. Let me continue here because this is such a devastating story. And by the way, I've seen a target list for 30 American cities that are going to be taken out if the Soviet if Russia has to respond to the threat posed by the West. And remember, it's the threat posed by the West. The closest to me here in Wisconsin are in Milwaukee and Chicago, which are about 2 hours' drive away. But, man, I mean, the nuclear fallout is going to be devastating for the whole world if all this comes to pass. So none of us should welcome any kind of nuclear exchange. But to me, it's simply staggering to recognize that the United States was planning to annihilate the Soviet Union with 204 atomic weapons against 66 civilian cities. 66 civilian cities. My God. I mean, that's just horrendous. Continuing, the nuclear arms race. Central to our understanding of the Cold War, which started officially in 1947, Washington's September 1945 plan to bomb 66 cities into smithereens played a key role in triggering the nuclear arms race. The Soviet Union was threatened and developed its own atomic bomb in 1949, in response to 1942 Soviet intelligence reports on the Manhattan Project. While the Kremlin knew about these plans to wipe out the USSR, the broader public was not informed because the September 1945 documents were, of course, classified. Today, neither the September 1945 plan to blow up the Soviet Union nor the underlying cause of the nuclear arms race are acknowledged. Western media has largely focused its attention on the Cold War, U.S.-USSR confrontation. The plan to annihilate the Soviet Union, dating back to World War II and the infamous Manhattan Project, are not mentioned. Washington's Cold War nuclear plans are invariably presented in response to so-called Soviet threats, when in fact it was a U.S. plan released in September 1945, formulated at an earlier period at the height of World War II to wipe out the Soviet Union, which motivated Moscow to develop its nuclear weapons capabilities. The assessment of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists mistakenly blamed and continued to blame the Soviet Union for having launched the nuclear arms race in 1949, 4 years after the release of the September 1945 U.S. secret plan to target 66 major Soviet cities with 204 nuclear bombs. Quote from the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, 1949. The Soviet Union denies it, but in the fall, President Harry Truman tells the American public that the Soviets tested their first nuclear device, officially starting the arms race. We do not advise Americans that doomsday is near and that they can expect atomic bombs to start falling on their heads a month or a year from now, the bulletin explains, but we think they have reason to be deeply alarmed, be prepared for grave decisions. Important. Had the U.S. decided not to develop nuclear weapons for use against the Soviet Union, the nuclear arms race would not have taken place. Neither the Soviet Union nor the People's Republic of China would have developed nuclear capabilities as a means of deterrence against the U.S., which had already formulated plans to annihilate the Soviet Union, which, by the way, lost 26 million people during World War II. The Soviet Union lost 26 million people during World War II. The Cold War list of 1,200 targeted cities, this initial 1945 list of 66 cities was updated in the course of the Cold War in 1956 to include 1,200 cities in the USSR and the Soviet bloc countries of Eastern Europe. The bombs slated for use were more powerful in terms of explosive capacity than those dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And here we have this new 2022, U.S. Cold War nuclear target list declassified for the first time. Major cities in Soviet bloc, including East Berlin, were high priorities in systematic destruction for atomic bombing. Special collection. The millions of pages of classified and declassified documents on U.S. nuclear policy during and after the Cold War are beyond the comprehension of any one individual, even any U.S. government organization. The following documents, some published for the first time, address a number of key problems, such as the first use of nuclear weapons, effects of nuclear weapons, early Cold War preventative war thinking, constraints on nuclear weapon use, and possible outcomes of nuclear war. According to the 1956 plan, H-bombs were to be used against priority air power targets in the Soviet Union, China, and Eastern Europe. Major cities in the Soviet bloc, including East Berlin, were high priorities in systematic destruction for atomic bombings. This is from William Burr, U.S. Cold War nuclear attack target list at 1,200 Soviet bloc cities, from East Germany to China, National Security Archives, Electronic Briefing Book number 538 of December 2015. More. Washington, D.C., December 22, 2015. The Strategic Air Command Atomic Weapons Requirement Study for 1959, produced in June of 1956 and published today for the first time. The archive provides the most comprehensive and detailed list of nuclear targets and target systems that has ever been declassified. As far as can be told, no comparable document has ever been declassified for any period of Cold War history. The SAC study includes chilling details According to its author, their target priorities and nuclear bombing tactics would expose nearby civilians and friendly forces and people to high levels of deadly radioactive fallout. Moreover, the authors develop a plan for the systematic destruction of Soviet bloc urban industrial targets that specifically and explicitly targeted population in all cities, including Beijing, Moscow, Leningrad, East Berlin, and Warsaw, purposefully targeting civilian populations that, as such, directly conflicted with the international norms of the day, which prohibited attacks on people per se, as opposed to military institutions with civilians nearby. The excerpts included here, from the Cold War to the present. In a post-Cold War era, nuclear war directed against Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran is on the table. What distinguishes the October 1962 missile crisis to today's realities? Number one, today's President Joe Biden does not have the foggiest ideas of the consequences of nuclear war. Number two, communication today between the White House and the Kremlin is at an all-time low. In contrast, in October of 1962, the leaders on both sides, namely JFK and Nikita Khrushchev, were acutely aware of the dangers of nuclear annihilation. They collaborate with a view to avoiding the unthinkable. Three, the nuclear doctrine was entirely different during the Cold War. Both Washington and Moscow understood the realities of mutually assured destruction. Today, tactical nuclear weapons with an explosive capacity or yield of one-third to six times the Hiroshima bomber categorized by the Pentagon as harmless to civilians because the explosion is underground. Fourth, a $1 trillion plus nuclear weapons program, first launched under Obama, is ongoing. Fifth, today's thermonuclear bombs are more than 100 times more powerful and destructive than a Hiroshima bomb. Both the U.S. and Russia have several thousand nuclear weapons deployed. Moreover, an all-out war against China is currently on the drawing board of the Pentagon, as outlined by a RAND Corporation report commissioned by the U.S. Army. U.S. foreign policy insanity. There's a long history of U.S. political insanity geared toward providing a human face to U.S. crimes against humanity. On August 6, 1945, the day the second atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, President Truman, in a radio address, concluded that God is on the side of America with regard to the use of nuclear weapons and that he may guide us to use it in his ways and his purposes. Yes, God is all behind nukes. God was behind the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. God would be behind using 204 atomic bombs to take out 66 cities in this Soviet Union filled with population that were utterly innocent. According to Truman, God is with us. He will decide if and when to use the bomb. We must prepare plans for the future control of this bomb. I shall ask the Congress to cooperate to the end that its production and use be controlled and its power be made an overwhelming influence toward world peace. We must constitute ourselves trustees of this new force to prevent its misuse and to turn it into the channels of service to mankind. It is an awful responsibility which has come to us. We thank God that if nuclear weapons have come to us instead of to our enemies, and we pray that he may guide us to use it, nuclear weapons, in his ways and for his purposes. Stunning stuff. Absolutely staggering. And you can find that, again, at my blog, jameshfetzer.org. I mean, these developments are staggering. I mean, learning that the United States was planning to wipe the Soviet Union off the map. Absolutely stunning. So, how can Russia, how could Vladimir Putin possibly have any faith, any confidence whatsoever in the United States? Especially when we've violated every promise we've made to them in the past. Absolutely staggering. Not only that, but the events that are taking place in Ukraine are definitely escalating by the day. Now, Moscow has hit Ukraine with 400 more missiles. 400 more missiles. And in the meanwhile, Israel has launched an attack on a Baghdad airport. I mean, what the hell is going on here? So you can anticipate that the Soviets are well aware of what's going on here. They are well aware. They're not going to take anything for granted. And if they're pushed into a corner where they believe that the very existence of Russia is at stake, they have already made it clear. They've already stated in clear and unambiguous language that they will defend themselves. And I guarantee you 100% they will defend themselves with a massive all-out assault, as I say. There's a list of 30 cities in the United States that are going to be hit. And I have no doubt virtually every one of us lives in the vicinity. But the fact is, the fallout, the consequences are going to be at least as, if not more devastating in terms of lives lost than those who are actually killed by the blast. It has been said that after the next war, the living will envy the dead. You must appreciate the point being made here. So many are going to be suffering from nuclear contamination. So many are going to be living a miserable life. So many will have lost everyone they love, everyone they care about. And we have a mental munchling like Joe Biden in charge of the United States because the Democrats had to stay in control so they could rat fuck the nation, steal these elections. The founding fathers had the genius of recognizing periodic elections, referenda, reforms, recall, all enable if the country goes off the tracks for the public to set things right through periodic elections. But by stealing one election after another, 2020 and 2024 being the most conspicuous and timely examples, the Democrats aren't allowing for that corrective process to take place. And as I have cited JFK before, his observation, very telling. Those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. I think now, however, what has happened is we have an administration that is so incompetent, so unqualified, or really better yet, so much under Zionist control. Here is the big picture. Israel wants to create a new Zion, a second Israel in Ukraine. The vast majority of the population of Israel genetically has been identified as Khazarian. They are from Khazaria, now the region known as Ukraine. They are not descendants of the tribe of Judah. They're not even Semites. which means that since the Palestinians, the Arabs, are bona fide Semites, that Israel turns out to be the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. They want Ukraine. They want the U.S. to unload all of its resources to benefit Ukraine. This is Israel's desire to fight Russia to the last American soldier. To the last American soldier. To create a new Israel in the region known as Ukraine. Stunning. And they got the backing of the Rothschilds. Banking empire, which already controls 80% of the world's wealth, but they want all 100%. It's grotesque. When you face up to the reality of the situation, it's catastrophic. Just simply, virtually beyond the comprehension of the average American. Who's really basically not a very sophisticated person. It is someone who's good-natured, believes in their government, thinks the media is telling the truth. Believe me, I'm married to one. She believes in the government. She believes what they're telling us. She believes in the facts. She believes Putin is a bad guy. She believes we should be fighting for Ukraine. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Bear in mind, I feel those of us who have investigative abilities, who are able to sort things out, have an obligation to share with the public what the hell is going on here. And I'm very grateful to Revolution Radio for providing a platform for doing precisely that. And I'm enormously indebted to Elon Musk, who in my opinion is among the great American heroes of our day. You have heard two reports. One about the FBI intervening, another about Anthony Fauci being protected. We would not know these things had not Elon Musk shelled out $44 billion, about twice the actual value of the company, because of all the bots and the fake accounts than it was worth. But he has impressed the hell out of me. I'll just say, in my opinion, this guy is 100% a good guy. Meanwhile, we are going to take your calls, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, stunning stuff. We live in interesting times. Unfortunately, they are fraught with hazard, and there's a risk to all of humanity here. And I just tell you, there are those who think nukes aren't even real. Well, that's a nice thought. Nukes not being real. That's a nice thought. As I was growing up, we'd go to the Free Kids Show. We'd see all these tests of nuclear bombs. I say, in my opinion, the most important film ever produced was Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove. And I believe everyone in the world should watch Dr. Strangelove once every year. Remember now, it was Bill Gates who told us that the greatest threat, he thought, to the world, to the existence of humanity, was not nuclear warfare, but a pandemic. He was laying the groundwork. He is among the globalists. He is among the tiny, tiny elite that want to eliminate most of the world's population. And notice, by the way, a nuclear war with Russia would go a giant step in that direction. As I have reported before, even a limited war in Ukraine with tactical nukes would have the effect of bringing about the demise of one-third, an estimated one-third of the world's population. Since the world's pop is around 8 billion, we're talking about roughly 2.75 billion people from a limited tactical nuclear war. Now imagine what's going to happen if there's a full-blown between Russia, the U.S., and NATO. It's going to be overwhelmingly greater, the amount of radioactive contamination in the nuclear winter, the cooling of Earth, the death of population on a massive scale. When we're back, we'll take your calls.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we do have a couple of callers standing by. Brian, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I wanted to comment on Mitchell said he could tell people are waking up, and this New Year's Eve, I really got proof of that because I live in, it was in the 80s, it was stated that my zip code was the murder capital of the world. So I live in a really bad neighborhood. And so 4th of July and New Year's Eve, I get people with their AK-47s out firing away. And boy, I never heard so many guns in my life as what I heard this New Year's Eve. Even someone had a machine gun. So most people would be alarmed by that. But me, it kind of heartens me because I say, well, there are people waking up. And as far as why we were going to nuke Russia right after World War II, I know what's going on there. If people read the transcripts of the Moscow show trials, they all started out, this is comrade, you know, Kaganovich, responsible for the Holodorm in Ukraine. He's an agent of the City of London, and for that, he's going to be executed. That's what was going on. Stalin was actually executing all the Trotskyites, and that's why he hunted him down in Mexico City and stabbed him to death with an ice pick. When you realize that, then that period makes sense. And what I suspect was going on, the deep state was really angry about him doing that, and he was probably going to take out the remainder of the deep state in Russia. And they said, if you do that, this is what's going to happen to you. So anyway, that's all I've got.
Well, good stuff, Brian. Paul, glad to have you here. Join.
Yeah, right on, Brian. So, yeah, Jim, I got a problem with a lot of stuff you said. Now, if God didn't want us to nuke the commies, he wouldn't have given us uranium, okay? Now, back in the Bible, you know, all the people that God got mad at and wiped them out, how do you think he did that? With a wave of his hand? No, nukes. God had nukes, and he used them. So I think that by, shall we say, inference, when we're fighting the godless commies, all things are on the table, and that's why I feel that if we want to use nukes, we got God's approval. Now, I do have...
Oh, wow. I mean, all this God stuff, you know, God's on everybody. Everybody believes God is on their side. And, you know, there's no way of arbitrating. We can't consult the Almighty for him to give us the word. We can only see how things play out. And, of course, if they play out one way, then God was on the side that prevails. And it might or might not be the United States. Yeah. Mitchell is complimenting your sarcasm. I love it, Paul.
I do have a couple of bones to pick with you. I think three in total. So let me go at them one at a time. First of all,
sure.
This bone. Reject hypothesis we previously accepted. Accept hypothesis we previously rejected. And leave others in suspense. I swear to God, if I hear that one more time.
Well, it's for those who haven't heard it the first time, Paul. Yeah, but I mean, it's just typical of scientific reasoning in a nutshell. So,
I know.
I get it.
It's what the internet knows as a fetzerism. Things that you say over and over, pre-recorded. You know, pull the string on the doll. You know, like Michelle Obama, right? Peeing in a dress by that doctor saying, "Well, it was a man in a dress with a huge shaving bill."
A man with breast implants and a huge shaving belt. But you know, Paul, those messages I repeat over and over are so damn important, you know. And after 35 years in higher education, you gotta reiterate the key points so that they sink in. I mean, there are retentive minds like yours that'll pick it up the first time, but not everyone's in the same ballpark intellectually.
Well, I don't know about picking up the first time, but I've listened to you over the years so much, and including other platforms. I heard you last night, too, that these things, there's parts of my brain that are permanently fused. You know, there's no more, there's there's no more synapses. There's no more gaps in certain parts of my brain. I'm permanently confused with these expressions.
I have another fan who says he can anticipate what I'm going to say before I say it. And I think you're in that category, too. You know, but give me the topic and you got a pretty damn good idea what I'm about to say.
Maybe. So I almost called last night. That was a great form. I didn't hear the whole, I think it was 4 hours on RBN, but I heard good chunks off and on as I was doing stuff.
That was a
great show last night with you and Monica Schaefer and Breiser and Giuseppe. There's one time where you were you didn't really take Monica to task, but you basically said a point of disagreement about nukes. You said, if only. And yeah. I'm going to chastise you on air for using what I consider to be a ridiculous, example, not even an argument and not even anything to do with logic. When you mentioned Stanley Kubrick's great film, right, Dr.
Yeah.
Strange Love.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has nothing to do with the argument of either nuclear weapons exist or is explosive nuclear fission possible, which is more to the point. So I need you to acknowledge on air in front of the millions of listeners that this example of using a Hollywood movie does not belong in a logical discussion.
No, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong because it has all kinds all kinds of documentary footage of nuclear explosions. I mean, there must be 60 or 100. You must see 60 or 100 nukes go off during the course of the movie.
Yeah. I'm going to take you
but
to task.
This is not a fantasy. My God, they even use nukes
listen
to take up Twin Towers.
Would you listen to me? Admit to me right now and admit to the other listeners that you did not look at all or read at all the link I sent you from Akio Nakatani's book, Death Object, Exploding the Nuclear Weapons Hoax. Admit to me on air that you never read Miles Mathis' PDF, which was only 17 or 18 pages on Trinity. Tell me that you didn't read them.
I think I started reading the Miles Mathis, but yeah, you're basically right. No, I have spent less. Yeah.
Okay, so let me move on to my next
And Paul,
point.
I do agree. Yeah, sure. Maybe we should have you come on. We'll do a whole show about debating nukes, and I'll bring Joe Olson in. He's pretty good at all this stuff, and we'll have a conversation between you and me and Joe about nukes.
Listen to me, please. Just for a second, I didn't want to get into a whole thing about nukes and trying to do it now. But I'm not talking
about doing it now. Yeah.
No, I know. I would only accept that invitation on one condition, and that's Joe Olson cannot be included because you and Joe Olson will pile on to me or my friend Gary. My friend Gary would be glad to come on the show if he had assurances that you and or somebody like Joe Olson would not immediately just jump on and see. Here's the thing. There's many people online that have gone into this topic, okay? And it's not anything that's specious or ridiculous, all right? There's actual real good scientific evidence that there aren't enough high-energy or even low-energy collisions to sustain nuclear fission. And when you look at the fact, what I was going to call in last night and say when there was a discussion of many things, okay, all these things come under the category of what I would call Jewish fraud. I think it's not out of the realm of, shall we say, what's the best way I can phrase this? Not out of the realm of, shall we say, normal thinking and reasoning to question anything that the Jewish ruling, elite, the clique, the cabal, wants us to be afraid of. So they want us to be afraid of a virus. I'm not afraid. They want us to be afraid of nuclear weapons. They want us to be afraid of terrorism, right? You know, now I think they want us to be afraid of a food shortage, okay? So in my opinion, right, the first thing that we need to do is to reject everything that they want us to be afraid of. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, be ever vigilant for the shenanigans they might pull with the so-called, food shortage situation, all right? But I have a feeling it's kind of hyped up the way the Deagle death count was, the way Y2K was, the way that 2012, I don't know if you remember all these little events that never occurred, right, with Y2K, and then there was the Mayan calendar 2012. And then all the various, I've been hearing martial law predictions since I first started listening to FM radio back in the 80s. I've been hearing about climate catastrophe for 30 to 40 years. And I think it's wise to always be extremely wary and dubious of any claims that the Jewish-controlled media makes. And the last thing I'll say on this is when you look at the whole nuclear weapons program, the Chicago pile, the Manhattan Project, it is riddled top to bottom with Jews. And so that alone gives me cause for suspicion. But when I speak about my friend Gary, who's got a master's degree in physics, and his professor, who he still keeps in contact with, is actually on the same side. He now believes that many things he learned are completely fraudulent. And here's just one example. He sent me links of mainstream, you know, articles, periodicals, right? Articles and experiments that show many of the so-called laws that they're taught aren't laws at all. Like, there's things that occur in the natural world and things that have occurred in laboratories that violate, say, for example, the second law of thermodynamics. Well, how could it be a law? There's things that occur that violate Newton's laws of motion. And you can read these things and you go, well, gosh, if that's true, then how could these things be a law? And as a matter of fact, most of what we're told in terms of current events, as you know, is completely fraudulent. So it's not that far of a stretch to think that what they tell us of science might be questionable also. Thanks for hearing that rant.
Sure, that's okay, Paul. I mean, I agree everything is up for grabs in the sense that, you know, make all the arguments you want. I say the existence of nuclear weapons is so profound. I interviewed Christopher Busby years back. He's a world-famous expert on cancer and its causes, and he went to Fallujah to investigate the massive abundance of genetic defects, no arms, no legs, no brain, you know, all this kind of stuff, which he believed initially was going to be caused by the depleted uranium used for these anti-tech missiles, because the depleted uranium is more dense than the steel and just devastates tanks. And was astonished to discover instead it was from enriched uranium from a new class of tactical nuclear weapons that were being used in Iraq. And we have evidence of tactical nukes being used in Syria as well. The United States does this stuff, Paul. I mean, if only, I just meant.
Okay, but
God, it would be such a relief if there were no nuclear weapons. I'm really sorry.
Okay, but look, here's the thing. You keep doing this. You should contact. First of all, you should read his work, Akio Nakatani. You can read it. Okay, it's not that long, right? It'd take you probably a couple of afternoons, two or three afternoons, perhaps. You could do it, okay? And then you could maybe contact him and have him on and have the discussion with him and or my friend who has a master's degree in physics. Now, I've had enough contact material with the subject and in many discussions. I could probably do a yeoman's job. But, you know, quote unquote, I'm not qualified. But some of these things that you're saying are what I would call logical fallacies. Using the idea of radiation or radioactive elements does not mean that explosive nuclear fission, much less fusion, is even theoretically possible. And there are theoretical discussions online that call it into question. And here's the thing, you know, when you talk about these birth defects, a lot of these things can indeed be caused by, for example, chemicals and also radioactive elements. I'm not saying radiation doesn't exist, and I'm not saying there isn't such a phenomenon.
No, here's another illustration. In the wake of 9/11, there was just a profusion of medical maladies very comparable to what happened at Chernobyl, all kinds of exotic kinds of cancers, multiple myeloma, leukemia, esophageal, pancreatic cancer. The pattern was very similar after 9/11, and it continues to grow. I think we're up to 70,000 in terms of casualties of 9/11 from the after effects, from exposure to the radiation.
Well, that's your supposition, but you know, the same thing is going on with the vaccines. The vaccines are causing all kinds of cancer. Cancer is a whole topic unto itself, and it doesn't really belong in the discussion of A, Do nuclear weapons actually exist? And B, is explosive nuclear fission possible? And that's the issue. Those are the core issues that have to be discussed, not talk of, you know, radioactive elements present or cancers or anything else. Those have to be left to the side because they're not evidence in the direct discussion. The other quick bone I'll pick, and then I'll throw it back to Brian or whoever else you want to, you know, bring in, is you're talking earlier in the show, we were talking about gain of function virus and, you know, various people talking about gain of function research. I will say this right now, and I've said this sort of thing before. Anybody that talks about this either A, does not know the topic at all, or is just, in my opinion, lying, okay? Because if you saturate yourself in the work of Kaufman, Cowan, Stefan Lanka, and others now, including, what's his name, Robert, God, I can't think of his name right now. I get his blog, I get email alerts to his blog. It'll come to me later. These people have made it quite clear, as well as Sophia Smallstone, by the way. If you have not heard some of her work on this or read her work, she's made it quite clear that the idea of these viruses, these things that we catch, these things that are contagious, these things that cause disease, that's mythical. However, what she has come up with, and it's actually amazing, and you should have her on to do a show about it, is this: these viruses as rendered products, going down to the crystalline level. She actually says that what they're doing in these labs is they're taking this biological material and they're rendering it down to a very basic crystalline form. And, of course, all kinds of stuff is coming out of that. So if you want to call that gain of function, but there is no, quote, gain of function on an inanimate virus to cause it to do anything. As I've stated from the very beginning, tell me what function you're talking about that this virus possesses, and then tell me just roughly how you believe it's being gained. And not one person has uttered any words to this effect that I've ever heard anywhere on the internet. I don't listen as much as I used to. But again, I question anybody that talks about this gain of function. I think it's a distraction. I think it's all nonsense. It's all fear-mongering. I don't believe it for one second, just like I don't believe nuclear weapons exist, in order to convince me to light one off right in front of me.
I hesitate to ask. Are you, Paul? You aren't flat Earth, are you?
Oh my goodness, Jim! We are not going to do. We have been around and around on this topic.
Now let me bring in Mitchell. Mitchell worked in a nuclear power plant. He's going to have his observation. I think he's on your side, if I read him right, Mitchell.
Yeah. What do you mean, on Paul's side?
Yeah, you tell me.
I'm on the side that, well, nuclear power plants are real. It's the stupidest way to boil water you can think of.
Yeah, right.
I consider nuclear weapons to be real. So there you have it. You know, I worked from the fuel floor, and even worked when part of the reactor was this top was taken off when they were putting it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked all the way to the basement of that thing, you know, and, you know, I think it's stupid. I believe the technology and the physics involved, but I just believe mankind is just horrible. We were joined by 616.
Yeah, sure. 616, join the conversation. Your thoughts.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Jim. This is Ken from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Good.
Yeah, in the movie Dr. Strangelove, do you remember the discussion about fluoridation in the water?
Yeah, sure. And we thought that was crackpot, and it turns out fluoride is a neurotoxin and is actually killing brain cells. So even though that was thought to be a far-right, you know, lunatic belief at the time, actually, it turns out to be well-founded.
Does, people should watch it every year.
It does not strengthen.
Let him go on, Jim.
Say again.
Because the nation was in grief when that movie came out from the assassination.
Well, tell me what that has to do with what year was Dr. Strangelove? Was it 65?
63. Yeah, 63.
No, I think it was '64, I think, because November 22nd, 1963 is when Kennedy was shot. So I'm not sure. Did it come out shortly after that? I believe it may have.
I'm looking it
we'll
up.
See.
While you're looking it up,
1964. But I don't,
okay,
I don't,
right.
I'm not. What are you suggesting? I mean, I think the Beatles received such a warm reception and made such a profound impact on America as they helped us recover from our grief over the assassination. But I don't see where Dr. Strangelove would figure in that equation. Tell me, what's your hypothesis?
I heard a lot of people didn't go see it in the movies because of the it was overshadowed by the assassination.
Although they didn't go to see it, maybe because it was depressing.
Right.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
That's all I heard. But, yeah, it's very important what water fluoridation is doing to the population.
It's not like, good. Right. You agree it's not good, right?
No, but the dentists are convinced that it's great for your teeth, so therefore put it in the water. I mean, a lot of people are brainwashed just like get the vaccine. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable, I know. Anything else you want to add about your view about nukes? I mean, could Paul possibly be right that it's an illusion?
Well, it's I work with a Troxler gauge, and I measure density with doing dirt engineering, and we use two radioactive sources, amrium and cesium 137. Cesium 37.
Yeah.
So listen.
Wait a second, Paul. I want him to finish. Yeah, go ahead. Complete your thought. Complete your thought.
So I never witnessed a bomb going off, a nuclear bomb going off, but, you know,
sure.
There's the pictures that could be done on the lookout tower in Laguna Beach or wherever they took those pictures of simulations of the.
Paul, I'm gonna bring you back, Paul. I'm gonna bring you back. Let's see. Okay, Paul, go ahead. You wanted to reply to Mitchell.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sure. And just in general, we're running out of time. But Lookout Mountain was the installation where they made all the films, including putting in sound effects and classical music to these nuclear weapons. The type of the film, the so-called films, the nuclear weapons going off in Dr. Strangelove. Jim, we're made on Lookout Mountain. Okay, you know about Lookout Mountain. You know, this is basically a film laboratory that the military ran, and they used it for propaganda. So again, and by the way, warming, heating water, you know, I'm not saying that you can't get heat out of uranium. That's a separate discussion. I'm not denying the existence of nuclear power. I've never done that. However, the nuclear power industry is full of fraud, and I suggest you go online, Mitch or Jim, and watch several Galen Windsor videos. They're hard to find on YouTube, but you can still find them at various other platforms. Galen Windsor. He was in the industry. As a matter of fact, he was for a while. He worked out here in San Jose at the plant here. There was a nuclear division out here of General Electric. And he even mentions that in one of his videos. But the nuclear power industry is full of fraud, and not the least of which is some of the construction fraud. But the idea, Mitch is correct about, you know, is a very expensive way of boiling water. And, you know, the interesting thing about uranium and these other, radioactive elements is they are, for example, you can take a piece of metal on the countertop. It's cooler than ambient temperature. But uranium is warmer. It's very interesting. It does produce heat. I'm not sure they totally understand the hows and the whys of it. And this is what I've learned from, you know, various conversations with my friend who's got a degree in physics, as well as reading many other things online. I don't think the so-called natural world is anywhere near completely understood by modern science and modern physics. And they just make a lot of stuff up, right? Such as the Big Bang Theory, completely made up. Now, I could go on in this manner. So I just wanted to respond to what Mitch said.
Well,
I don't deny
guess,
that Homer Simpson had an emergency box of donuts underneath the counter.
Let me just say, Paul, we'll do something about it in a couple of weeks. I'll see what I can do to set up, find some, you know, good people to address, and you and your associate can come on and we'll have a further discussion about it. I'm always glad for you to raise your arguments, disputing points I'm making or what you regard as presuppositions. That's very appropriate. I don't have any problem with it. And I'm, you know, glad for your commentary of today. I do think Elon Musk is doing a great deal of good for the American people. I do think this horrific program to wipe out the Soviet Union with 204 nukes, which I continue to believe, I'm going to hypothetically assume they are bona fide. Otherwise, it would be pointless to have war plans involving fictional weapons of war. But we shall continue. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us. Let's hope 2023 is a better year than 2022.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence